This is episode 8 of the Eco Warriors podcast featuring Nicole Bassett from the Renewal Workshop.
You're listening to the Eco Warriors podcast featuring inspiring stories from women in green business, sustainability, and conservation. Here's your host, Barbara Lee.
As we're coming up to the holidays, I think a lot about the waste that's created around this time of year. From gift wrapping to kitschy presents that someone didn't want to all the shipping miles created by sending products around the world, the holidays are an important time and I love giving gifts, but I also want those gifts to be sustainably conscious. This is where the Renewal Workshop really helps save the day. Nicole Bassett founded the Renewal Workshop after seeing the endless cycle of clothing being created by the fashion industry. Her goal was to take slightly damaged, returned, or otherwise like new products and fix them up for resale. Today, the Renewal Workshop has diverted more than 500,000 pounds of clothing from landfill, and they partner with big brands like The North Face and Prana. Spoiler alert, I did not realize that less than 20% of products donated to a thrift store are actually resold. As someone who spends a lot of time in thrift stores, I was quite shocked to find out this information. Also, in case you've missed it, we've rebranded the podcast. We're now the Eco Warriors Podcast. This is a change that we hoped would reflect our growing and evolving focus on all the inspiring stories from many different disciplines and voices from around the globe. Follow us at Eco Warriors Podcast on social media. Let's jump in. Hey, Nicole, welcome to the Eco Warrior Podcast.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Could you let our audience know who you are and what it is that you do?
My name is Nicole Bassett, and I'm one of the co-founders of the Renewal Workshop. So the Renewal Workshop is a company that was created about 6 years ago to help apparel and textile brands transition themselves out of the linear economy into the circular one. What we do is provide services and operations and strategy to apparel brands to help them basically re-commerce their products again, but also think through like what happens to the products after individuals are done with them or post-consumers done with them. So brands are partners of ours. We have a facility in Oregon as well as Amsterdam, and we basically take anything that gets returned that's damaged and unsellable or things that through take-back programs that brands might have, and we clean, repair, and get that product back out for sale again so that brands can start to generate revenue off of items they already made with the hope that one day they don't have to make as many new things.
You mentioned renewing and repurposing clothing, but that's not the only thing that your company does.
That is true. So we have a few different services that help brands become circular. So one of them is the operations side of it. We also do consulting for these companies by using the information that we've learned over the years about what is circular product. Can this product actually get repaired or can it be recycled? And we do education for brands based on what we've learned to help them design and create product that actually could go into a circular economy. Things like workshops or design residencies, helping them think through like, oh, is this recyclable? Is this repairable? Could we use this for multiple sales? Because right now the whole apparel and textile industry knows how to make and design product for essentially one use.
On that same note, how did you get started with this company?
My first career was actually in film and television. My second career was I went back to school and did a master's of environmental studies because I was very inspired by some of the businesses that I was editing when I was in TV and saw that businesses could actually be a force for change and not just cause all the problems. I ended up getting my first job, which was a dream job at Patagonia. And that became sort of like, I'm now in the apparel industry. I worked on environmental and social responsibility at Patagonia for a number of years. And then I was at Prana for a number of years and helped them did a consulting firm and focused on helping brands become more sustainable. What was very interesting about like 10 years into my career, I realized that yes, we can make things more sustainable and we should be asking those questions and figuring out how to reduce the chemicals and the harm within the supply chain. But I also realized that every year we kept making more and more product and we ultimately were sort of negating the good we were doing by making more and more and more. And so got very very inspired by this idea of a circular economy, which has been around as an idea for a long time. This is not a new idea. And in fact, like, I think all of our great grandparents and grandparents would be like, of course you're going to use everything over and over again, and started to look at how do we help brands get unstuck from a linear model and try and figure out a way to generate revenue off of what they've made already. So they're incentivized to do that.
Yes. And Patagonia is one of those companies I think of who are pushing innovation forward for closing the loop and using recyclable materials.
Yeah, we do. And I would say what's been really cool is we started back in 2016 when I was knocking on doors of all these brands and saying, hi, we are interested in re-commercing your product again. And what are you doing with your waste right now? And most brands are like, what's the circular economy? I have no idea. Or, yeah, we have this problem. And so the first brands we got on board were definitely the ones who were leading the thinking. They were interested in trying to solve this problem and willing to take action and jump into it. So I have to give a lot of credit to our early partners. And then the North Face is one of our largest partners, and they got in really early and wanted to jump into this and really figure it out. And I have to highlight you don't have favorites, but I sort of do with Koyuchi, which is a home goods company. And part of the reason why they really stick out for me is their product sort of by nature was designed to be circular because it's a single material type. So it's actually recyclable. And they also have a high price point. So reselling it makes a lot of business sense as well. And they've gone and really invested in trying to figure out new business models within their existing business to sort of get ready and be more flexible for this kind of changing economy.
So what happens to a piece of clothing? Could you walk us through with the life cycle, what it's like to be a piece of clothing that is brought to the renewal workshop?
Absolutely. So stuff that comes to us can come from a few different places. So you buy a product from a brand, and some brands, you take it home, you wear it, you wash it, and then a couple months later, you decide I don't want it anymore. And they're like, well, if you're not satisfied, then we'll take it back. Or you buy something and the button falls off or the zipper breaks and you take it back. Before, brands didn't do anything with this product because they only sell new product. So most of it usually had been donated, a majority of it overseas, or a lot of the product was just destroyed or landfilled or incinerated. So brands already had a whole bunch of products that were not new, couldn't be used, couldn't be sold again. And then there's this growing increase of brands actually asking for their products back from consumers. And so there's trade-in programs and things like that. That's the kind of stuff that comes to us. When it arrives in our facility, we sort it through and decide, is it going to be resellable once we're done with it? Or is it really far gone and it needs to get downcycled or recycled? So we do that split. Things that we think we can resell again, everything gets cleaned. We've got this really cool technology on site. The company is called Tersis, and it's a CO2 cleaning machine. So it's waterless and it's able to really clean a lot of materials to high level. And that's great for our home goods and sort of next to skin products. Then we actually have to barcode and enter each item into the operations. So you can imagine, again, products were never designed to be sold again. I'll just look at something I'm wearing now. Like this black vest is just a black vest medium. And that's all I know about it based on what I see. But we know brands have, like, it has a name and it had an original selling price and it had all these features and benefits and it had all this information about it. So we barcode the product, and then through working with the brand, we get its product data. So now this product can get resold again online. Say this came in because there was a missing button. Our team enters that into the system. We send it through a repair. We'll fix it. We also label all the product as a renewed piece. Then the quality team will inspect the whole garment, make sure that it looks like new, or if it is, like we had to replace a button with a similar but not exact button, then we make note of that so the consumer knows what they're going to get when they buy it. We take a photo and it goes online. Our partners have their own websites for the most part, and then you can buy a renewed piece off their websites, and we'll just ship it out when you place the order.
So you hold all the stock and inventory yourselves?
We do for the brand. Since it's in-house already, then we don't have to ship it all around. We can just ship it from here when the customer places the order.
Cool. Can you talk about any of the statistics or numbers around the impact that the Renewal Workshop has made since you started the company?
We have diverted over £500,000 into our facility that we've been able to renew. So that's exciting to see, like, wow, that's a lot of stuff over the last few years. The other thing, we're going to be releasing a report later this winter. And because I was very curious to know, like, how do we compare renewing a product to making a new product as far as like what kind of carbon can we save? And so it's significantly lower. So I think that's what's exciting, is we'll be able to put that data out there for people to see. And that really helps brands start to look at, oh, okay, if I'm generating revenue off of renewed products, that means I'm generating revenue off of a lower carbon product. And as we see more and more brands start to make science-based target goals, this is really important because it's a strategy now they can use. And so that's very exciting.
That's great.
For our brand partners, they also, because a majority of the stuff that's coming to us and that we're reselling again, it's the same idea. They're able to say, well, I was able to save, if I were to make that dollar again, I would have had to make a new product. And so they're able to say, I was able to reduce this water and energy, carbon, chemicals, by renewing product. And so we make sure that brands get that data, and that helps guide them into why you would want to do a different kind of business model.
Yeah. So other than just buttons and replace and things, it sounds like a thrift store model. Are there other products that you're making maybe more significant repairs on?
I mean, we fix everything from insulation problems to zippers to snaps and all kinds of stitching issues. What's really heartbreaking is like there's a lot of stuff where like a box cutter went through a box and slice something and you're like, oh, it's perfectly new, but it now it has a great big gaping hole in it. Or yeah, like when buttons fall off or zipper stops break or things like that. So there's these things where all of a sudden it's like small, but it's so significant because then the product's not functionable again. But what blows my mind is our repair techs are like little surgeons. They're just like, oh yeah, just give it to me and like they are able to get it back into usability.
That's amazing. You should send us some pictures. I'd love to kind of see the before and after shots.
Yeah, actually, I'm sure we have some. The other thing that is very cool is the North Face's design team, after I think a year of working together, they reached out and said, we're very curious to learn more why our products are here. And we give reporting to brands every 6 months that says, this is what we've renewed and here's the issues and here's sort of just data on your product and why it's here, and to help inform them and hopefully get them to design differently. So it worked. The designers came to us and said, we're really curious to learn more. And so they went through a design workshop, which we run for any brand. They can come and do our design workshop and learn about circular design. And then they took it another step and used our design residency and came for 4 days and just really sat with their waste and understood, like, why are you here? And what are the things that I'm doing as a designer that's causing you to be here versus like where, like people wearing products and that kind of change or those kinds of issues. And so the designers then created sort of, we call it a tech pack or a vision of how to like remake items and make them unique. And so on the North Face Renewed website, you can find the remade collection and you'll see these cool patches and on the product that are really meant to sort of highlight the fix and give you a unique one-of-a-kind piece. And that allows more products to actually be able to get resold again, because it really just, it sort of tells the story of like, hey, I got fixed and here I am out back being used again.
When you say they came to the workshop, what were they trying to figure out? Like poor design, other failures?
So most of it is the design of the product, more like, why is this product not sellable again? So there are things there where, yeah, the stitching was really poorly done. There could have been the fleece was matting, or it could be that a type of ink that got used was peeling off a lot of. So they're really just sort of learning, like, what does my product look like after it's been used by people? And where is that use showing up? And are there places where I can do design changes that allow us to make this either easier to repair or easier to recycle or easier to like redesign? A great example is placement of access to some stitching or zippers and things like that. So a lot of times if like a product could be designed where you're hiding things, and therefore when a hole happens or stitching breaks, it requires a massive disassembly in order to reassemble. And a lot of that happens around zippers, because you can imagine you're trying to create a waterproof zipper experience, and you might like have layers of fabric to protect water from getting through. But when some of that happens, you have to undo like a huge amount of different parts of the garment in order to access the thing you're trying to replace. So I think some of that is getting the designer to think through like, hey, what are things that break common? If I had to replace that and fix it, am I designing an easy way for that to happen?
Nicole, how did you get into this? Because you mentioned that you don't have the sew and you were working at Patagonia. So how did you come up with the specific solution?
Yeah, the renewal workshop came about through a series of meandering ideas that eventually sort of landed. So one of the things that I did a lot when I was in sustainability in the apparel industry was collaboration within the supply chain. So often a factory will make products for many brands, and that's part of the business model, because one brand alone, I mean, depending on its size, but more often than not, factories are making products for multiple companies because they have to balance the production load and have in order to keep their workforce busy and have that be balanced through the year. Then I also noticed that like the apparel industry in social compliance, everyone went out and did their own individual solutions. And then we spent years trying to unwind that and thought, oh, wouldn't it be great if we created a solution that multiple brands used at the beginning and we could start to share learnings and accelerate things. So inspired by factories work with lots of brands, inspired by collaboration being really important, and having been inside of a brand and looking for a solution, I thought, okay, well, what if we just create a company that is the solution? And then that way brands just have to hire us to solve the problem for them. And I felt like this would be a faster way for each company, each brand out there than recreating it all themselves.
Yeah, that's so smart.
And so that became the fundamental of like, okay, let's create then, what are brands going to need? Oh, we're going to need someone to collect the product. Okay, we're going to need some ability to renew it and get it back out for sale. Okay. And then the thing that followed was we're going to need to support them in reselling it. And that's when we created the service of creating white label websites so that brands could basically own the sales channel of this product as well.
And how are people finding you? Like, where do your customers come from?
So our primary customer are brands in the industry. Luckily or unluckily, I had been in the industry for about 15 years, so knew a lot of companies, and I knew a lot of people specifically in sustainability. And my co-founder, Jeff, also has been in the apparel industry for a huge chunk of his career. So when we started, we just started calling up everyone we knew and said, hey, we're going to start this company. This is what it does. Do you want to take a call? I mean, we were very lucky and got lots and lots and lots of calls. And then over time, especially as we've grown and we have more brands working with us, as companies are looking at the circular economy, they'll give us a call and want to learn more and see if we're a right fit for them.
Yes. And then there's the bigger question here, which is that this works well for a few companies, but there's the longer term plan. And how do we actually get to being a fully circular economy? So for example, how do people find your products and start getting tuned into these alternatives to purchasing clothing?
What I've seen over the years is like, again, when I started back in like early 2000s, we were still talking about double-sided paper in the printer and like, do you have a recycling bin in the office? Like we weren't talking about supply chains and where the real impact from brands was. That's evolved incredible over the last 20 years. It is just absolutely unbelievable how many more companies say and understand the word sustainability. There's so many new designers who are creating companies with that as part of their ethos. And that really has come around because of individuals who then go work at companies and say, this is important to me. And then all of us as consumers who have said, this is important to me. I do think a lot of the movement happened as we've seen growth in organics in the food industry. A lot of people really caring about beauty products and like, where did it come from and what is it on my body? So there's home as well. So there's a sort of like growing awareness and lifestyle. At the same time, we're also seeing our world physically changing and seeing the impact of climate change on our lives and saying, oh, I don't want to contribute to this. So like, there's this like rising awareness, which is happening. For us, I do think another factor that has impacted our business is the growing ability to do resale online. So before, we used to all go to thrift stores that were physical stores. And we've all had our various experiences from like, oh my God, this place stinks, to this is amazing. And look at all the things I found. And that moved online in the mid 2000s, or sorry, like the 2010 to 2015, we started to see a lot more movement there. And that really elevated the experience as well as the exposure of buying not new product. And ThredUp, Poshmark, The RealReal, Tradesy, like all of these companies coming up, and there's so many more that people feel really comfortable buying not new. And then now brands are saying, oh, wow, if I want that customer, because now I'm sure a lot of your listeners are like, I don't want to buy new product anymore. If a brand wants to access that person, then they're going to have to offer the product of not new. So that's where we're seeing, we're just like right at the starting of brands starting to tip towards that. And so when they see the growth happening elsewhere, that helps push and move it a lot faster.
I think this is an interesting time of year because people are buying things for themselves, but also gifts for others. And if you had told me, I don't buy things often, and I have this really nice Arc'teryx jacket that I've kind of had for the last 6 years. If you had told me several years ago that I didn't need to go to REI and buy a brand new one, I would have been thrilled because one, I was totally broke, and two, the ethos of it.
Yeah, it kind of didn't. Like, it really has been in the last 6 years that it's changed this much. And I think one of the things also is that when the brands get into this game, they are incentivized to offer a better product to the consumer. So, you know, the peer-to-peer trading platforms or thrift platforms, like, it's not their brand, right? They're just selling the product. But if you're like, especially if you're a big winter ski jacket, you're like, I'm going to dump a couple $100 on, I want to like guarantee this is a good quality product. And I want to know there's a good return policy.
I am a pretty bad consumer in a lot of ways. So like, basically thrifted to wedding outfits recently. And I did use one of the websites that you mentioned, The RealReal. And I was impressed with the offering and also just how much was available on the website. What do you recommend for folks who are looking to offload their things?
Good question. So one of the things is I would definitely say if you haven't tried buying used product or not new product, there's a lot of options and you should think of that first. There's all the way from ThredUp to The RealReal. I mean, those are very different types of products. But if, yeah, like you're, The RealReal is more of a like accessing luxury or higher end price point items, and they do good work around authenticating the product and that sort of thing. My theory is that if you can, and the brand you want to buy for sells renewed product, and you can find our partners on our website, which is renewalworkshop.com, buying from a brand or renewed product, what it does is it helps signal to them that there's a customer for that. And that really drives a brand's investment, whether or not they're going to do more of it. So that's really important to, if we want to see our economy change, we have to be participants in that changed economy. So I encourage you to do so. It's great for gifts. It's great for you. It's true. I do a lot more buying for me during the holidays than I do other people. But then as all of us as consumers, we have stuff, we decide we didn't really like it, or we buy it and our bodies change and we can't wear it anymore. We're sort of in this weird time where this product was not designed for next lives. And so the options that we have as individuals are limited. A lot of burden is placed on us as individuals to make the right decision, but we're also operating in a system that didn't give us good decisions to make, to choose from.
Nicole, why is this so important to you? I know you mentioned that you were in the fashion industry for a while and that helped you open your eyes to the problem, but why do you care about sustainability in particular?
I like how you asked that. I don't think I've been asked that way before. I grew up in a very special place. I grew up in northern British Columbia. My parents really pushed on environmentalism and social justice. And I think there is just this real connection to like our impact as humans and what it has on the planet. I just really like all the sort of big problems are caused by us as people and the behaviors and actions we do. And it's really hard because a lot of us are just stuck inside of a system that we can't get out of, right? Like you can't control where the power in your house comes from. And, you know, up until recently, like there's only one type of vehicle and it's one that uses gasoline. And we didn't know about our supply chains and the problems they caused. And so when I got exposed to the idea that like you could change the way we do things and reduce our impact, just really became very like actionable. And I found that very inspiring. So it wasn't just like, oh, I can't do anything, but it was like, oh, I really can do something. And that's why I went back to school and did a master's of environmental studies. I also feel like every one of us doing something every day is what's going to change things. And that I find inspiring. I sort of feel like, you know, I only have one life. And if I'm going to be here, I want to contribute to doing good. So that's sort of been my inspiration and mantra for like the work I want to do.
Nicole, I love that. If people want to check out your brand and the work that you're doing, how can they find you?
Yes. So at Renewal Workshop on the socials and our website, renewalworkshop.com, where we sell some of our partners' products, as well as can access on our partner dropdown. You can see all the sites that we support. But yes, I really do encourage you to reach out to the brands that you love and ask them what they're doing to take responsibility of the things they make.
Nicole, thank you so much for taking time to be on the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Really enjoyed meeting you. Thank you for your very thoughtful questions and having this conversation.
I loved hearing about Nicole's story and the way that she turned this really deep passion for protecting the environment into an amazing company that is taking clothes out of the cycle of fast fashion. If you're looking for a gift for yourself or a loved one this holiday season, check out the Renewal Workshop website at renewalworkshop.com. Nicole and her team were kind enough to give all the eco warriors who listen to this show a special discount code for your first purchase. So check out the link in the show notes and use code to receive off your first order at renewalworkshop.com. Thanks for listening. Stay green.
Eco Warriors podcast is produced by Hansel Rodriguez, research assistance by Belinda Chu, and hosted by Barbara Lee. Thanks for listening. For more inspiration, follow us on Instagram at Eco Warriors Podcast.